This message came to me about 6 weeks ago. When I say that, I mean it dealt with me. I'm in my private reading. I'm in the book of 2 Kings now, but I'm in the Old Testament. And about 6 weeks ago, when I was reading this passage, it really jumped out and got a hold of me. And I thought I'd like to share it with you this morning. The text is out of 1 Kings chapter 12, verses 25 to 33, and the title of it is Who is God? So 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 25 through 33. Then Jeroboam built Shechem in the hill country of Ephraim and lived there. And he went out from there and built Penuel. And Jeroboam said in his heart, Now the kingdom will turn back to the house of David. If this people go up to offer sacrifices in the temple of the Lord at Jerusalem, then the heart of this people will turn again to their Lord, to Rehoboam, king of Judah. And they will kill me and return to Rehoboam, king of Judah. So the king took counsel and made two calves of gold. And he said to the people, You have gone up to Jerusalem long enough. Behold your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. And he set one in Bethel, and the other he put in Dan. Then this thing became a sin, for the people went as far as Dan to be before one. He also made temples on high places and appointed priests from among all the people who were not of the Levites. And Jeroboam appointed a feast on the 15th day of the 8th month, like the feast that was in Judah. And he offered sacrifices on the altar. So he did in Bethel according to the calves that he had made, sacrificing to the calves that he had made. And he placed in Bethel the priest of the high places that he had made. He went up to the altar that he had made in Bethel on the 15th day in the 8th month, in the month that he had devised from his own heart, and he instituted a feast for the people of Israel and went up to the altar to make offerings. Father, I thank you for your word. We know that it is truth. And Father, I pray that you will enable me to share this with your people today. Father, open our ears to hear and our eyes to see, and help us to examine ourselves as Paul encouraged the church to do. Father, I just pray that all the glory out of this today will be for you. And it's in Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. I like to go back a little bit before we go forward, make sure we're all on the same page. Jeroboam was a servant of King Solomon. And we all know that Solomon was the mightiest king to rule over the whole of Israel. And it said that Solomon saw that Jeroboam was an industrious young man, so he put him in charge of his forced labor. Well, the scriptures doesn't say exactly what he did, but it said Jeroboam raised his hand against the king. So Solomon decided to kill him, and Jeroboam fled to Egypt and stayed there till Solomon's death. Before he left, a prophet named Ahijah met him outside of town. They were alone, and it said Ahijah had a new garment on, and he tore it in 12 pieces, and he gave Jeroboam 10, and he said, This is what the Lord is saying. I'm tearing the kingdom away from Solomon, and I'm giving you 10 tribes to be king over. Solomon was a godly king, but he had 700 wives, and in order to please those wives, it said he began to build shrines and altars so they could worship their gods. Now, in the law of Moses, that was forbidden. When they came into Canaan, God said, You destroy those altars, you burn them with fire, you kill every one of those people, men, women, and children. It was a judgment. And he said, I don't let any memory of these gods be there, because if you allow that to stay, you may start worshiping them, and then I'll judge you. And God said, don't intermarry with any of these people. But Solomon had married women from nations he was not supposed to. And the scripture says as he got old, his wives turned his heart away from following God, and he started making offerings to their gods. He started worshiping them, and that is why God got angry with Solomon. And he told Solomon, I'm going to tear the kingdom away from you, and I'm going to give it to somebody else. But he said, because of my promise to your father David, I won't do it in your lifetime, but in your son's. And they believe, many believe that Solomon didn't know about the promise to Jeroboam. He wanted to kill Jeroboam because he had conspired against him. So Jeroboam went to Egypt, and when he heard Solomon died, and that his son Rehoboam was reigning, Jeroboam came with a delegation and said to Rehoboam, your father laid a heavy burden on us. You know, they were paying taxes. They had to take turns working at labor, building the city and building these places Solomon wanted built. And they said, if you'll relax this, we'll serve you. Well, Jeroboam asked the men that advised his dad, and they said, do what they ask. Ease that burden up. And they said, they'll love you and they'll follow you. And it said that he asked the young men that he grew up with, and they said, in essence, you tell them, you think my dad was hard on you. You ain't seen nothing yet. Well, when they did that, it said the delegation said, we have nothing else to do with the house of David. Let's go. So the kingdom was divided into a northern and southern, according to God's word. And God made Jeroboam king. And we just read here, Solomon had built a temple in Jerusalem, and he asked God to put his name there when Solomon was still following God. And God had told the Jews in the law, wherever I choose to put my name, that's where you come and worship. Three times a year they had a holy convocation. And God said, appear before me where my temple is. So the temple represented the presence of God, the place of God, and that's where they were commanded to gather to worship and offer sacrifices. And Solomon had built this temple, and he asked God to put his name there, and God said, I will. So God says, now my name is at Jerusalem. When Jeroboam became king, God had told him through the prophet, he said, if you'll walk in the ways of David and obey me, I will establish your kingdom. Well, evidently Jeroboam didn't trust God, because we just read that he said, now if these people continue to go to Jerusalem and worship, their hearts will turn back to the house of David, back to Rehoboam, and they'll kill me. So what Jeroboam did was create a religion of convenience. He said to the 10 tribes, for too long, according to the commentators, you had to go to Jerusalem for too long to worship. You're not going to have to do that anymore. And the first thing you had to do was redefine God. Now, we read in the law, in the books of Moses, that the first time God appeared on Sinai, there was heavy smoke and fire, and they could not see him through the fire because no one can see God and live. And they heard a long trumpet blast, and God spoke to the Jews through that fire, and it said they trembled and they pulled away from Mount Sinai. The whole mount was shaken, and they said, Moses, don't let God talk to us anymore. You talk to him and come and talk to us. They said, we're afraid we're going to die. And, you know, they just saw part of God's glory. They heard his voice, and they trembled, and they said, we don't want to hear that anymore. And Moses went up to talk to the Lord, and the Lord said, that's a good thing they've said. And God then later told them, now look, you didn't see any form on the mountain, so don't make any images to be with me. In other words, don't make an image and say, this is God. Well, Jeroboam had to redefine God to create this religion of convenience. So he made two golden calves and said, these are your gods. So that's the first thing he had to do, was redefine who God was. And the golden calves, this wasn't the first time we know that they had worshipped them. The first time didn't bode so well for them. A lot of them died because of it. After God had already told them not to make any images, they made images. Albert Einstein said, to keep doing the same things and expect different results was the very definition of insanity. I don't know how Jeroboam thought he was going to make these golden calves and get away with it. But he said, Israel, these are your gods. And it was out of fear. He didn't want them going to Jerusalem to worship. Well, after he had made the calves, Jeroboam had to totally disregard God's word. As I said, God said, don't make any images to be with me. Well, he made images. He also said in the law, you will only offer sacrifices at the one altar where I choose to put my name. So they had to go to Jerusalem in order to offer the sacrifices. These calves were a copy. They came from the Egyptian god Apis, the golden bull. And Apis, in the Egyptian mythology, was a god of virility, fertility, strength, and courage. So he was one of the favorite gods of the Pharaoh. When a Pharaoh was a mighty Pharaoh, they compared him to the bull. You know, the bull Apis, he was a strong Pharaoh. He was mighty. And they believed that the bull Apis, through the priest, could speak oracles to them so that he could reveal the God's will unto the people. And many believe that's why Jeroboam probably chose the calves, because the children of Israel had lived there for 400 years. They were familiar with this God. But Jeroboam, in his own way of thinking, probably thought, we're still worshiping God. We've just redefined him a little bit. I'm putting these images here, something they can look at and they can go see and worship. And maybe he thought he wasn't doing anything wrong. I don't know. It said he placed one bull in Dan. That was the farthest northern border of his kingdom. And the other he placed in Bethel. That was the farthest southern border of his kingdom. And the scriptures say the people of Israel added to this sin, and they were willing to go as far as Dan to worship these calves. Dan was twice as far as the trip to Jerusalem. So that shows us a lot of these Jews kind of like that idea of switching gods, and they were willing to go twice as far to worship this calf that Jeroboam had placed. And the one in Bethel was near to Rehoboam's border, so that would entice people in Jerusalem that were so inclined to come across the border and worship the calf. This was a political thing with Jeroboam. He was trying to establish his power. Well, in order to do that, he had to disregard God's command that they were to worship at the one altar in Jerusalem to offer the sacrifices. So he installed altars all over his territory. He built temples all over his territory to honor this false god. And it said that he chose priests from all over his territory who were not Levites. In the law, God had told Moses, only the Levites can be my priests. They're the ones I've chosen to serve me in the tabernacle and in the priesthood. And they're the only ones that can offer your sacrifices. If you offer them yourselves or anybody else offers them, I won't accept them. So this was very important. And Jeroboam said, well, no, anybody that wants to be a priest will ordain you as a priest, and you can offer these sacrifices and God will accept them. That's what I mean by religion of convenience. You don't have to go to Jerusalem. They were supposed to go three times a year. You don't have to make that trip. Hey, look, I've made it easy on you. You stay here and worship God. If he'd have just stepped in and said, I'm just abolishing religion, there'd have been a revolt among the Jews. They said, no, we're not going to do that. We can't go without worship. So he said, all right, well, here's your gods. And he paralleled and mimicked everything that God commanded Moses to do in the law as far as their ceremony. You want a temple? Here's temples there. There's a temple there. There's a temple there. You want an altar to sacrifice on? I got no waiting altars. You don't have to wait. There's more than one. You can go anywhere you want in this territory and offer these sacrifices. You need priests to sacrifice them? Well, I've ordained a whole bunch of them. So none of you are without priests to offer these offerings. So he tried to parallel or to mimic what the Jews were supposed to be doing, but it was false gods. Even Jeroboam had his own private altar that they said he offered his offerings on. And that's only fair because he was the king. He probably deserved his own private altar. He didn't want to share with anybody. But the thing was, not even the king was allowed to offer sacrifices. If you remember the story of Saul, while he was waiting for Samuel, Samuel was going to come and make an offering to God. And Saul saw the people start dispersing. And he got scared and he said, "Bring me the sacrifices." And he offered them and burnt them on the altar. And Samuel showed up just as he was doing it. And Samuel said, "What are you doing, king?" He said, "Well, they were starting to scatter and I was afraid they was going to leave. So I offered the burnt offering." And Samuel said, "You done a very foolish thing." In fact, he said, "God's going to tear your kingdom away." Because he presumed to take upon himself the office of a priest. And that's the same thing Jeroboam did. So the people are going to these temples, worshiping these calves. They have priests to make them feel better about worshiping these calves who were offering their burnt offerings on all these altars, and God wasn't accepting any of it. Well, Jeroboam decides they have three feast days in Jerusalem, so he changed one and instituted it in the northern kingdom. And on the 10th day of the 7th month, the Day of Atonement, one of the most important days in the Jewish festivals, we all know that's when the high priest went into the Holy of Holies with the blood of bulls and goats and sprinkled them on the mercy seat, first for his sins, then he had to sprinkle the blood for the people's sins. Very important day. Well, on the 15th day of the 7th month, they would hold a holy feast. They would all gather and feast and worship. It was a time to celebrate. And it was also the Feast of Booths. If you remember, they would gather brush from the hills and build these brush huts, and they would live in them during this feast to commemorate how they lived in tents and huts while they were in the wilderness, while God brought them to Canaan. It was a very solemn festivity to them. Well, Jeroboam said, "Well, all right, we're going to do this on the 15th day of the 8th month." And he made it a holy festival, a time of feasting and celebrating, and a time of offering special offerings to God. When you read this, I couldn't help but notice how much he tried to copy what they were supposed to be doing in the law. And I think by doing that, maybe he thought he was pleasing God. "Hey, God, we haven't just totally left. You know, we're still letting the priest offer the sacrifices on these altars. And I've built a house for you." Only it wasn't for God. It was for the golden calves. And after all, Apis was considered almighty. So we're still considering you to be almighty God. You know, Apis spoke to us in oracles, and we know you speak to us through the prophets. He tried to parallel and run right along with the worship of God, but it wasn't the worship of God. He had to disregard the law because he was breaking the law. And he had to convince the people it was okay not to go by the law of God. "Well, I know God said, but hey." You read the same thing in Genesis 3 when the serpent came to Eve. What was his first question? "Did God really say?" They had one law. A moron could have memorized that one law. Don't eat off of that tree. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God said, "When you eat off that, you'll die." And Satan steps in and said, "Did God really say you couldn't eat off of any tree here?" Eve said, "No, but that tree we can't eat off of, or we'll die." And he said, "You won't die." And I see the same thing with Jeroboam. Every king was required to have a copy of the law. God commanded that. The king will have a copy of this book to be read, to be meditated upon, and he was to base his decisions out of the law of Moses. He was to follow God. So Jeroboam could not claim ignorance. He had a book of the law. He read the book of the law. I think that's where some of these ideas came from. Now, that's just my opinion, but he thought, well, okay, yeah, you know, I need to do this, this, and this, and this will establish my kingdom. God already told him, I will establish your kingdom if you will obey me. And he evidently didn't believe that. He said, no, I got to take this into my own hands. Because if I don't, these people are going to kill me. So he establishes this false religion. It was a religion of convenience. Hey, this will be easier on you guys. You don't have to make that pilgrimage to Jerusalem 3 times a year. And as I said, the calf in Dan was twice as far. And it said the people were willing to go all the way to Dan, which showed they kind of liked this new religion. They liked this idea. Them calves weren't near as strict as God. That being a fertility god, it allowed for immorality, that worship. That appealed to some of them. I kind of like this God. You know, we still call him God, but this isn't as strict as what we're supposed to observe. God sent a prophet to Jeroboam one day when he was offering sacrifices on the altar he had made. And God was not happy. And he said, you've made Israel to sin a great sin. So he said, not only are you going to die, but I'll cut every one of your male descendants off. I will wipe your name out of Jerusalem. Now, Solomon started this. Think about this. These are two kings whom God appointed to the kingdom, to the throne. Two kings whom God promised, if you will obey me. He told Solomon, if you'll obey me like your dad did and follow me with your whole heart, he said, I will establish your kingdom. But if you don't obey me, then I'll take it away from you. Jeroboam, he said, if you'll obey me like David did and you'll follow me and you'll walk in my commandments. And they both had them. They both had books of the law. They couldn't say, well, we don't know what your commandments are. We don't know what your will is. God said, it's right there in the book. So God said, follow the book, my instruction book, follow the law, do what I ask you to do, and I will bless your kingdoms and establish them, and I will strengthen you. And both men, Solomon included, goes, nah, I'm going to do it my way. Now, Solomon did it to make his wives happy. The Bible said that he clung to his wives in love. He loved his wives more than he loved God. He was more worried about his wives getting irritated at him than he was about God getting irritated with him. So he not only rebuilt the places God commanded them to destroy in the law, he allowed the idol worship to go on in his kingdom. His family allowed them to do it. That excluded them from the punishment of the law. They weren't stoned. They weren't called to account for it because they were his wives and because he loved them. It said when he got old, they convinced him, why don't you offer to our God? And Solomon goes, well, yeah. I want to keep you happy, so I'm going to do that. You think about this because of what these two leaders did. If you study the books of the Kings and the books of the Chronicles, every succeeding generation became worse and worse and worse. There was the exception of a few kings in Judah who tried to bring religious reform, if you will, back to Israel and say, look, there's only one God. And some of them went as far as to destroy the high places, cut down pillars, burn the idols, run off the priest or kill them. You know, some of them gave them a choice. You need to leave. Some of them didn't get a choice. They killed them, these false prophets. They got rid of them. But as soon as that king was gone and another king come in that had a different idea, it went right back to where they were. And before this was over, they were burning their children in the fire to the god Baal, their firstborn kids. It got worse, it got worse, and it got worse every generation. Until in 701 BC, the Assyrian army conquered the 10 northern tribes. They slaughtered thousands of them and deported the rest. And in 586 BC, Nebuchadnezzar came and conquered Judah. Again, he slaughtered thousands of Jews, and he took the rest to Babylon. And God fulfilled what he said in his law, the law that these two kings rejected and that the people of Israel eventually rejected and disregarded. He said, I will drive you out of this land. I don't understand personally how these two kings could have done such a thing. You know, they knew the consequences. Evidently, they didn't believe them, but they had it right there in the Word. God said, if you do this, this is what's going to happen. And maybe they thought they were the exception. I'm the king. And the people followed the leadership. Because of the decision of these two leaders, it started the downward spiral of these kingdoms. God was forced to judge them. Would you stand with me this morning? Father, again, I thank you for your word. Oh, Lord, please prompt our hearts to become students of your word and to understand that you say what you mean and you mean what you say. Help us to accept not only the blessings of your word, but the curses and the consequences, Lord. May we never get our eyes off the cross of Jesus Christ and accept other teaching and doctrine that goes contrary to that. I just ask a blessing on every person here this morning, and that as we read and study your word, the effort that we put into it, that you will reward us, Father. You said that if we draw near to you, you will draw near to us. I ask for your glory and the glory of Jesus Christ, that you would reveal yourself to us, Lord. Teach us your word. Teach us the ways to go. Help us not to stray from it. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.